Welcome to Encounters in the EAP Classroom, a podcast that reflects upon different experiences in the higher education English language classroom and provides thoughtful suggestions for both learners and instructors. I'm your host, Laura McNabb. Hi, and thanks for joining me today. It is the height of summer now in the Northern Hemisphere, and I always love the expansiveness that the longer summer days seem to bring, the possibilities. And one such possibility that I would love to delve into today with the episode is student partnership in the EAP classroom. I remember during my teaching time in Dubai with Emirati Nationals when my job description added the role of facilitator. And while this wasn't yet full partnership, it definitely recognized the active role of the students that the institution wished to highlight, both for teachers and students. For me, this indicated an expectation that I was needed to get out of the way of my students' learning. And along with providing instruction where students were uncertain, I also presented opportunities and situations for students to navigate their own language development. And this was really exciting for me. It got even more exciting when I learned about the student partnership written and laid out as students as partners. Cook, Sather, Beauville, and Felton put this together and published it in 2014. The book is titled Engaging Students as Partners in Learning and Teaching, A Guide for Faculty. And it provides a wonderful explanation of how SAP, Students as Partners, can operate at full scale and anything at smaller scales as well. And I recognized where I had already been using more of a partnership approach and where I could do more, especially in my EAP classroom. So today I will explain a bit more about the SAP concept, how I have used it, what was well and successful, and what maybe was a little less so, and what I'm considering as I go forward in this idea based on what I've read and in discussions with others. First, what is SAP? So Students as Partners facilitates an equitable learning environment with student-teacher partnership. Learners are brought into a level of partnership with the teacher for joint learning and development. And in their book, Cook, Sather, Beauville, and Felton defined partnership as a reciprocal process through which all participants have the opportunity to contribute equally, although not necessarily in the same ways, to curricular or pedagogical conceptualization, decision-making, implementation, investigation, or analysis. So as you can see, there's a lot of space that they have given for where partnership can occur. And other key research that was done actually in 2014 as well, or published in 2014, by Healy, Flint, and Harrington, views partnership as a relationship in which all involved, and they outline students, academics, professional service staff, senior managers, students' unions, and so on, are actively engaged in and stand to gain from the process of learning and working together. So both of these research teams, these teaching teams, were endeavoring, you know, to bring student engagement further, to bring it into partnership and bring the learners into the learning process as fully as possible, as well as a lot of the other members of the whole formal academic environment. Now, neither team were focused on EAP or even specifically English language learning. Their research was more, you know, at the wider institution. But I really believe there's great potential and possibility with SAP in EAP. And as I already mentioned, I was kind of happy to notice that I actually have already been doing it, possibly somewhat unaware, It stemmed from wanting to engage and stimulate my students in their own language development. Now, while student partnership, as already mentioned, can involve students from the conception and design of a course or a program, it can also be something really simple, like allowing students to choose their own essay or presentation topic. So many of us are already using SAP at varying levels in our courses. Essentially, moving out of the traditional teacher telling students and students simply passively receiving is shifting to student engagement and students as partners. So thinking back to my teaching role as a facilitator, it was easier to get students engaged in a learning project if they had more investment, more independence, more autonomy, more engagement, if they had choice. So my students were enrolled in a required EAP program. This was when I was teaching in Dubai, due to their low English scores upon graduating high school. So however, even with the lowest level students, there was SAP success. And I'm thinking of a class of a group of female students that I taught at the women's campus. There were some really shy students and some very outgoing students with a variety of language levels and interests. And I got along reasonably well with all the students, but I noticed that I had limited participation from some. Regardless of the activity or the interactive student pattern, they were always quite shy and quite reticent to participate. But at the same time, I had very dominating and very outgoing students who enjoyed being fully participant in everything. So I decided to try peer team teaching. Students were asked to partner up and choose a topic from a list taken from the syllabus. And my idea was that each class, one partner set, would present their ideas and information about the topic they chose. They would have 10 or 15 minutes, including topic presentation and a Q&A. So two of the outgoing students volunteered to be first, not surprising. They set up the students. They organized the classroom. They set the desks into a horseshoe formation. They brought the movable whiteboard up to the front of it. And they required nothing from me except to sit back and learn myself. And after 15 minutes, it was clear that they were not anywhere near finished, and the students were fully engaged. So in my mind, this was success, and I let them continue. Afterwards, they came to me and they said that they would be happy to organize the rest of the presentations, help the students, and that they felt it would be good to have a full class, 50 minutes, just as they had done. I was thrilled, and I totally agreed. And the other students also agreed to this idea. Each student was a student pair. So each class, I had one student partnership, one pair of students give a presentation. And I never had to worry about setting up the classroom, organizing, or keeping the students focused and engaged. There were 20 students in the class, 10 presentations were given, and 20 students in 10 classes were fully engaged. I placed very few stipulations on the teaching. My big focus was on English language, so my only request was that all of it had to take place, including the Q&A, including explanations, in English. No Arabic was allowed in the classroom during these teaching sessions. And the students agreed. They chose the topic, they chose the details within that topic, they decided how to present it, what interaction they wanted with their classmates or their classmates to have with each other. And my two leader students set up the schedule, kept track of the topics to make sure there was no repetition, and it was amazing to witness. Interestingly, when I tried to do it the next semester with a new group of students, it fell completely flat. And that's when I learned that it wasn't the activity per se that made the whole thing successful. It was the investment and engagement of the full class. That class, the previous semester, was in partnership with me and with each other. And my mistake in the second semester was to present it as a project activity prescription rather than saying, let's try this out, and then negotiating as I had in the previous semester. I presented it as a fully constructed idea. I removed the collaboration from the process. I removed the partnership. And I learned from that. So as often as possible, I have endeavored to provide students with choice and also choice to collaborate and negotiate regarding the essay topics, presentations, and any other project ideas. And I've had good success again when I remember to include the students from the get-go and to be ready to negotiate and talk about it. Collaboration, right? It does no good for me to present it as a finished product. So today we're going to begin this project. It takes everything away. And I found instead that if I start with, I have an idea, then there's so much more potential and possibility. And I've had this success again with other topics, including sustainability. When I switched to a university in China, I asked my EAP students, according to the syllabus, they needed to give two presentations, and one presentation was using visuals and one wasn't. And I had the idea to address the topic of plastic. So I brought that idea forward. Students were kind of like, yeah, what? Maybe. But they got on board with it. They formed their own small groups, and then they chose the plastic use on campus. So some looked at the water bottle situation, some looked at delivery packages, plastic bags, anything that was interesting. I think I even had a group of students that were looking at the plastic containers of their makeup. So they each observed their plastic use for 1 week, observed it and recorded it, and then afterwards with their partner designed a campaign either to address the situation directly or to raise awareness about the situation. The students chose the partners. They chose the plastic use. They chose how to collect their data, how to address the information after they found it, how to design and deliver the presentations. And no surprise, very well done, very well done. And this, again, was with students who tended to be very shy and quiet during class. In another semester, I wanted to continue with the plastic, but had learned that there needs to be more collaboration. So I presented the idea of possibly using a company instead. And this was really good because, again, it brought me and the students together as we discussed how would we work with a company, how would we do that, like a local business, what are the plastic issues. And again, they chose to make a video, many of them. Some of them chose to make a very elaborate production. Some of them chose to make a very basic video. But regardless, there was investment and engagement and partnership. And what I really want to emphasize here is there was partnership not just with me, which is kind of the background of the SAP, but I also witnessed partnership and communicative partnership between students with each other. Another EAP course, I asked students to choose one of the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations and apply it to their hometown. And they thought that was a really good idea and they agreed. And again, great research and great presentations came from them. Another semester I did it, but I took away the China factor. I became a bit prescriptive. We're not as good, possibly because it was a bit more foreign, but again, always wary of starting to use something, to use a teaching activity, a learning activity as a fully formed product. It takes away from the partnership. In a recent semester, I had a group of students and they were allowed to choose their own groups, but I had no control over the topic choices and there was simply a random list. But what was interesting to notice is that most students did not gravitate towards a topic connected to their study major, but something that was more connected to them personally. A lot of students looked at procrastination or learning motivation. What's interesting is that as the students are engaged in their topic, as they're feeling in partnership with each other, hopefully feeling more of a partnership with me, they also increase their level of English. Or even if they don't increase it per se, they're willing to take a few more risks. There's that calculated risk factor, which is a whole nother topic that will have to be discussed at another time, and a willingness to communicate. Now, what was interesting was that teamwork issues did arise between classmates, and these were classmates who had chosen to work with each other, but it was no longer just a pair, it was a small group, which brings more personalities and more issues, more diversity, which brings possibly more issues. This was a new problem because I'd been working with students who were working with simply one partner. And what I realized is that students were still unfamiliar to the new relationship system, the partnership system of a small group. And what was really interesting was to realize that whenever challenges arose, they often reverted to their old methods of dealing with each other and relating to me. Suddenly, we went back into a more traditional setup. That's not really unusual. We all tend to do what we know when things are difficult, even if what we know isn't part of the new process. So for me, as their EAP language instructor, it was very exciting because this is when communication and negotiation for meaning is required. Now the students would need to truly test their English communication skills, not on the playground or walking across the campus or the basketball court or in the pub with informal English and street swagger, but in the university classroom with more formal English and attention to precision of expression. My students did not think this was part of their EAP course. And when I would talk about how we need to talk with each other and take time in English, they often balk. And in these spaces, they see me as the traditional teacher, the leader, and they just want me to fix it. Talk to so-and-so, make sure that so-and-so is doing the job they said that they would do, make sure that everybody's doing their part. That's what they want me to do. But as a partner and as a facilitator in students as partners, this is a place where I am more useful, I see. Internet and online libraries, I'm not really necessary for content in the same way as it was 50 years ago. Students can find all the information that they need. Yes, I can guide them with what's more credible. Is this authoritative? Is it relevant? Is this the key name that we need? But overall, students can do it. And instead, the relationship coach, the facilitator of the relationship of the small group and the communication that needs to take place is a significant role. My new role during student projects is a coach. And one of my key tasks is to mediate and work with my students as they learn to mediate. So when the group dynamics become unbalanced, it's my role not to fix it, but to bring the students together, slow things down, spotlight the uncomfortable issues, and find out, you know, who's doing what happened, why isn't somebody doing what they said they would, why is somebody doing more than they said they would, how did we arrive at this juncture. And because I'm the coach, the facilitator, the EAP lecturer, it can all happen in English. And not because it has to, not because this type of teaching has to happen in English, but because this is a lovely opportunity for students to stretch their EAP communicative skills, to negotiate for meaning, to co-construct meaning. This is social learning, as Vygotsky mentioned, And this is the zone of proximal development, the ZPD, the place where I, their instructor, can teach and guide as they navigate this new territory. Now, I have training as a life coach, both for individuals and groups, and when these issues arise, I use a lot of those skills. But even if you're not trained as a coach, simply slowing things down, bringing students into the present moment, and guiding them as they deal with the conflict is a useful part of your partnership. And there are plenty of materials online, especially around the topic of mindfulness, where we allow each voice in the group to be heard, helping the group find their group identity, listening and hearing each other. And essentially, we as instructors are holding space. Reframing with new vocabulary is also a helpful tool. Students often worry about the vocabulary they need for the essays and the presentations, and they don't focus on the words needed to resolve conflict or to negotiate, to navigate the group setting. And they don't always consider the nuance of their word choices or the tone behind these words, which is really easy to do, especially if everyone comes from a similar cultural background. But in the small groups that I had, this was part of the problem as well, because they were a mixed culture group. That means that they were reacting to each other's English vocabulary choices differently as well. So needless to say, slowing students down and working through conflicts in a second language takes time. But I really believe that this is a part of the gold of SAP, students as partners, because the instructor is no longer focused on delivering content and ensuring that every student is fully engaged. That's already been taken care of with the collaboration of the project. Now there's space to move and operate in other capacities. And this bonus capacity is, as I mentioned, that we can also model mediation as EAP instructors. Students can witness the interactive mediation as we summarize and interpret what we hear, as we help the students summarize and interpret what they've heard, mediating their own ideas, mediating each other's ideas as they negotiate and co-construct. So incorporating SAP into the EAP classroom broadens the learning sphere, and it creates new interactions between students and instructors. And all of this expansion is communicative development for the students. So if you haven't already tried some, I encourage you to experiment. And if you already are doing this, I would encourage you to just keep doing it. I believe, especially in the EAP classroom, and hopefully this can happen more at the curriculum, syllabus, even program development level. And if you want to share any of your successes or learnings, I would love to hear from you. Just send me a message. I've got my contact details in the show notes. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you have a good rest of your day. Thank you for joining today. Encounters in the EAP Classroom is written, hosted, and produced by Laura McNabb. You can learn more about Laura and her teaching at her website, www.windowsoflife.com. If you have teaching ideas or would like to collaborate with Laura, she would love to hear from you. See you next time!